The Skagway Tour Company involved in an incident that injured dozens remains silent, and financial worries sink another attempt to advance a Skagway Rec Center expansion. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. More than a week after nearly 30 people were injured on a tour in Skagway, no new information is available about the incident. On August 10th, a Unimog touring vehicle went off the road leading to the Alaska Excursions dog camp. That's according to a press release from the city. 28 people were transported to the local clinic. Executive Director Shelley O'Boyle said the victims suffered minor injuries like bumps and bruises, but also more serious ailments, including broken bones and a few head injuries. Three patients were medevaced. KHNS has not been able to check on the status of the medevaced patients because their names were not released. Alaska Excursions has been publicly silent about the accident. They have not returned repeated requests for information. Skagway Police Chief Ray Leggett says his department is not investigating the incident because it happened on private property. The municipality and fire department have not provided any more information beyond a limited press release. Haines residents have until Monday at 5 p.m. to file as candidates for local office. As of Friday afternoon, incumbent Jan Hill was the only candidate for mayor. Brenda Josephson, Diana Lapham, and Sean Mady are running for three open assembly seats. Incumbent school board members Anne Marie Palmieri, Sarah Chapel, and Brian Clay put in bids for re-election. There are four open school board seats. The election is October 3rd. On Thursday, Skagway leaders' financial worries sank a proposal to gauge voter support of a recreation center expansion and pool. Assembly members said they need to focus on more pressing issues, like a pending waterfront lease. Assemblyman Jay Burnham has advocated for this rec center expansion and pool from the start of his term 2 years ago. His efforts were stymied once again at Thursday's assembly meeting. Burnham wanted to send advisory questions to voters asking whether they support a rec center expansion and, separately, if they support an aquatic wellness center.
I see this as a way to gauge whether or not the people of this town would like to direct us to look into getting a pool.
This proposal followed the Assembly's rejection earlier this summer of a more binding ballot question. That question would have asked voters whether to approve a 1% sales tax hike to pay for the estimated $17 million project. But even though the advisory questions are not binding, the majority of the Assembly was still resistant.
It's like having a mortgage and wanting to buy a Porsche.
Assemblyman Tim Cochran pointed to Skagway's more than $20 million bond debt. He said soon the city might be able to pay down more of that debt. That is, if negotiations on waterfront leases are successful. The city is in the middle of lease talks with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The railroad wants a new 15-year contract after its current lease expires in 2023. If the agreement is approved, the city can expect more revenue.
But I think we should pay down our debt with a few years of the waterfront being intact and receiving some of the revenues before we start taking on some more big projects, multi-million dollar projects, because we've got a lot on our plate right now.
Assemblymember Orion Hansen agreed that Skagway tends to live beyond its means by committing to expensive projects, but he said there wouldn't be harm in an advisory vote. Here's Hansen with Cochran responding.
I don't think we need to blow this out of proportion and deprive the people their opportunity to say what they want and what they don't.
Okay.
I think a majority of the people in this town don't have any clue as to what our financial situation is. Look at the audience out here. It's not a full audience every time we have a meeting. And people think we're rich. They're used to getting a yes.
The Rec Center Advisory Question proposal failed in a 4-2 vote. Jay Burnham and Hansen were the only yes votes. The Assembly continued to talk about the White Pass lease, The group voted to make a couple changes suggested by Borough Attorney Bob Blasco. One amendment makes the city's agreement to a new lease contingent on ore basin contamination cleanup. Hansen said he hoped the assembly would be able to finish its work on the lease before two assembly positions change hands in the October 3rd election.
I think we have to have the end game that up or down, we vote this while we have this assembly sitting here because we are informed. And there's a huge education factor of whoever comes next.
Assembly members Spencer Morgan and Monica Carlson have not filed to retain their seats. So far, there are two candidates for the two open spots, former Assembly member Dan Henry and write-in candidate Dewey McCracken. Incumbent Mark Schaefer is the only mayoral candidate. At Thursday's meeting, multiple residents voiced disappointment that there weren't more people running for office. Wild sockeye harvests continue to disappoint commercial fishermen in the Northern Lynn Canal. Catch numbers were down across the board in District 15 this week. As the summer starts to wind down, fish and game biologist Mark Soggy says enhanced chum from a Juneau area hatchery saved the season this year. KHNS's Abby Collins talked to Soggy about the latest harvest numbers and his thoughts on the season so far.
The catch was dramatically lower than what we expected and what we hoped for. And I think everybody's kind of very surprised. All the fishermen anyway are very surprised that the sockeye didn't show up either in the lower end 15C or up by Glacier Point.
And last week it looked like things might have been looking up for sockeye. We were up to about 6,000 fish, and then this week down to 2,000.
Yeah, and typically this would be more of a week where we would get, you know, the average is 18,000 around there for the harvest, and it was last week. So we're coming in really weak with the Chilcat run. And, you know, usually if the Chilcoot's weak, then you can count on the Chilcat, and we get in this mindset of sort of expecting that to be the case. And right now the escapement is good on Chilcat. But if you don't have the fish coming in at this time right now, then those projections aren't very good, really. There's a lot of fish in the river, we think, but there's not that many fish that are available to harvest anyway that we've found.
What does that say to you? Is this it, or are you still waiting for those fish to come?
No, I'm still waiting. I mean, there's some indication that the fish are, you know, we're hitting along the Hawk Inlet shoreline with the same fleet as caught some sockeye along that shoreline, and they should be coming our way.
And then zero kings harvested this week.
Yeah,
which
I know.
I guess would be expected for the time of year, and also these new management restrictions.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't say no retention, but we had no retention because there were no kings caught. You know, I heard rumors of maybe one or two out there still swimming around. We got one on the fish wheels recently. So these a big female that was full of eggs, ready to go up the river. So they're still around, but it's good that we're not catching them at all at this point.
So you mentioned the escapement numbers on the Chilcat are looking good.
Yeah, the Chilcat started fairly slowly in some ways, but then has just been steady, like a steady number of fish going up into the lake, which is really good. We're at 40,000, which is much better than last year. Last year we made the goal, but just barely, really. And you know, it all depends on what's in the ocean at this time, and that's where I don't understand why we didn't harvest more fish last week. If the run is as strong as it appears to be, then there should have been fish in the harvest last week. We're sort of dependent on the two things, the fish that are in the river, but also the fish that are still incoming in the ocean. And right now I'm not seeing a lot in the ocean, so my mind is to give it one more shot, and then if the fish don't show up this week, sockeye, we're going to slow way down in terms of time and area even further than we have.
We're a little over halfway through August now. Mm-hmm. Do you have any feelings about how this season has been as a whole so far?
Well, I think everybody realizes that without the enhanced chum, we wouldn't have much of a season this year, and that's not a good place to be in, because this fishery used to be run on the wild stocks and used to be a healthy, strong fishery, both with good sockeye returns and then good fall chum and coho returns. And now where the fishermen have become very dependent on the enhanced fish, which is a good thing. I mean, there was money to be made. The price was good. And so I think that, you know, people have their seasons in already in some ways, you know, but But to me, it's a little bit too much dependency on an enhanced fish, and not enough. We're not getting the strength of the wild sockeye this year that I had hoped we would have. So, but I think in general, a good year for the fishermen, and if we make escapement goals, then an okay year for the ecosystem, but not such a good year for harvest of sockeye.
Conversations with Fish and Game's Mark Soggy are a regular feature on KHNS this summer. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.